What a selection. Thank you, Pastor Henry, for that song. He texted me just a little inside this week and said, I have a few songs, and I need you to tell me which one you want me to sing according to your message. And I listened to them, and it's just a blessing to have you sing that today. And it encouraged me as I stand here today to deliver the word of God. Happy to be in the house of the Lord today. How about you? Yeah. And I just want to get into this message. The Lord, there's a real burden on my heart this morning. And I just ask that you would pray as the Lord speaks today, that our hearts would be open to receive, and that consequently, it will spill over into the lives of others around us. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask simply that you would do it again. And I ask, Lord, that you would be the one to do it today. If you're lifted up, you'll draw all men and women to you. So I claim that promise for this message today. And may you be glorified, and may we be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message today, it wouldn't be found in your bulletin, but the title of the message today is Preserved to Serve. Preserved to Serve. And I just feel so far away from you, and to those of you who are online, I think I'm going to come on down here, if that's all right, have a nice little makeshift stand here. We've been on this journey this year with the theme, I Serve. And for this fourth quarter, we are dealing with the topic, Save to Serve. And there's just been some things that the Lord has been dealing with us as a congregation on concerning this topic. And we've learned that our salvation comes from the Lord, amen, not from our works. We've delved into righteousness by faith, understanding that Abraham believed and it was credited unto him as righteousness, that I cannot conjure up my own salvation. Consequently, I cannot be lost by my actions, so to speak, as well. But it is the heart that God looks at, and he looks at the trend of the life and whether or not we're keen to the unction of his Holy Spirit when he speaks to us. And that determines our destination. He says, when he comes back, he says, to those who are not saved, depart from me, I never knew you. So it's relationship that is the factor and not our religion. But today we're going to deal with this topic, preserved to serve. You know, my grandfather, God bless his soul, he died in 1992. And he died. He was, I loved him to death, but he was a miser. That man knew how to hold on to some money. And he had his, what he would call it, he was from the South, he had his billfold in his pocket here. And he had emphysema for the duration of the time that I was alive, from the time that I was born until the time that he died. And so he was in the home, he was in the house most of the day, and he stayed in his pajamas. I'll never forget him. And he had his billfold up in this top left pocket. And every once in a while, he would shift from room to room, and he would find himself there. He couldn't take too many steps or else he would lose his breath. And so when he would get from one chair to the next, he would just sit there. It looked like he had run 5 or 6 miles because of the shortness of his breath. And he would lay down often on the couch. And after he would get up from his nap, he would move and go into the kitchen and eat something. And it was then that I would go diving into the couch cushions Because whenever I asked Granddad for a dollar or something, he gave me a long speech about where money comes from. And so I figured out that if I would just wait until he left that couch, there might have been some change out of his pocket or something that I could grasp and put into my pocket. Now that I look back on it, I was stealing, but, you know, Lord forgive, you know, fools and babes. And so I picked that change up, and lifting up those cushions, there was something valuable in there. I was looking for the silver coins, not the bronze ones. And I would find 50 cents or 25 cents, and sometimes he would catch me looking in there and say, "What you looking at for?" You know, and I would say, "Oh, nothing." He said, "Well, if you find something, it's mine." But I learned that there was value under those cushions, and I was willing to dig for those under those cushions to get what I thought was valuable. Well, our text today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and there's so much that I want to share with you today, but we're just going to deal with this for a second, because Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth. Now I need you, we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're looking at 7 through 11, but I have a feeling that the Lord's only going to allow me to speak on a couple of these verses. But I need you to understand something. And I guess we'll read it. We'll read this just to set this up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, and it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of" who? "Of us. We are hard pressed." This is where the preacher loves to preach this. "We are hard-pressed on every side and yet not crushed. We are perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed." And then it says in verse 10, "Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be" what? "Revealed" or "manifested in our body." Now, I'm going to stop there. I just got to give you a little background. Paul was responsible through the unction of the Holy Spirit to start the church in Corinth. And a little bit of background about Corinth will set the stage for what's going on with us today. Now, there's a shifting taking place in our world, and I don't know if you understand it, but Paul says that we were in the last days 2,000 years ago. When I grew up, I was waiting for these last days, but I didn't understand. We've been in the last days for a long time, but a shifting is taking place, and there's one more period that is coming upon us before the coming of the Son of Man, and that is the time of trouble. And if you have been paying attention to what's going on in the news, you would see that those four angels that are holding back the winds of strife are slowly letting them go. And we're starting to see the effects of it. But Paul raised this church up in Corinth, and Corinth was a very corrupt city. There's a word in the Greek that I keep stumbling over that the Greeks would use to describe how bad Corinth was. But in Corinth, whenever something was going on, whenever there was a party that got out of hand, or there was debauchery, or if there was some unseemly sin or lustful situation that took place, they would liken it unto Corinth. They would say, "That's how the Corinthians are acting." And so there was evil, and then there was Corinth. And Paul goes into Corinth, and he decides through the unction of the Holy Spirit to start a church plant. And so in Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians are a letter from Paul to the church of Corinth, because they are planted in the seat, in the hotbed of immorality. Not only that, but not only was there immorality, but there was a hyper-spiritual atmosphere within Corinth.
They had the goddess Aphrodite. And they had so many other pagan gods that were surrounding in this city. But in the midst of this city, there was a church raised up. There were a people raised up to proclaim the glory of God. But and you're going to see this in a second, but Paul's letters were to the Corinthian church because since he had visited, corruption had come into the church. And so he's addressing this corruption within the church because instead of the church being the leader of the community, in the pulse or the spiritual pulse of the community, the church had decided to subjugate itself to the atmosphere of the community itself. It's almost as if there was this huge edifice that sat on the corner of Carroll Avenue in Tacoma Park, Maryland. You could not get around. You have to walk around the edifice to get down the street to Mark's Kitchen. If you want ice cream, you have to pass our church coming from this way. It's almost as if this church in Corinth was planted much like Tacoma Park is in Maryland. Tacoma Park Church in Tacoma Park, Maryland. In the city of Tacoma Park has a history. Now, we've got to deal with this, and then I'm going to let you go. This is not an easy word today. But there's a history of righteousness in Tacoma Park, Maryland, is it not? The Christians, and I love my church. I'm proud to affiliate myself with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But the truth about it is we are Christians who read and follow and study the Word of God. And anyone could have this same message if they open their Bible. We are just blessed to have inherited this message from individuals who dug down in the Word to find its truths. But in this area, there's a history here of righteousness. Individuals planted in the community, Seventh-day Adventist Christians who are upstanding. This city was a dry city for a long time. There was no alcohol sold. There's a history of this city. The General Conference was in this city. There's so much history here. But the tides seem to be changing. But in the midst of it, we're still here. And sad to say, this beautiful edifice is not appealing to the average individual walking by to come in. There's no power emanating from the brick walls that's going to lure someone in here to sit down for a service and end up baptized. Paul was trying to talk to the Corinthian church down, you know, he says in verses above verse 7, he talks about in verse 6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." He's talking about this light shining out of our hearts. And then it says, but in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." It did not say we have this treasure stored in equity in the church walls. It says, "But this treasure has been given in earthen vessels." Now, the Greek word for that is clay pots. And when you look at that word in the original language, these clay pots denote the fragility of the one who's housing this treasure. But also in history, just like with my grandfather, looking under those, in history, when someone wanted to hide something that was of great worth in ancient Israelite, in ancient history, they would put it in a jar or a pot, a clay pot. In fact, one of the more recent discoveries of the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found these scrolls in clay pots. And those clay pots had preserved those scrolls for over 2,000 years. Paul is trying to paint this imagery for us, and he's saying there's this treasure, the Spirit, the light, the essence of the Holy Spirit being deposited in these earthen vessels. And these earthen vessels are you and I. And then it says, watch this, then it says that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. And then, I don't understand why until I did my studying, he then goes on to talk about hardship. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Watch this. Paul is preparing the church, or reminding the church, that this church has been planted in the hotbed of sin. And the minute you decide to be different from the community around you, you will suffer persecution. But there's something within this persecution that also allows us to be preserved. See, there's four things that take place. I don't even know what to call it, but he says you're hard-pressed, yet you're not crushed. You're perplexed, but not in despair. You're persecuted, but not forsaken. The first part shows the fragility of those earthen vessels. The second part reveals the excellence of the power of God. And in essence, Paul is saying to the Tacoma Park Church, he said, listen, you've been intentionally planted on the corner in the midst of a city filled with loving people who are not necessarily on the same page as you spiritually. Notice I didn't say levels. I don't want to start talking about who's righteous and who's not. We dare not judge. There will be some people that we've seen participating in pagan exercises on the corner over here in heaven while some of us will be looking up at them wondering how they got there. So it's not about me judging, us judging or being higher or lower than someone in the community. What it's about is if we have this treasure in earthen vessels, what are we doing with it? There's a transition that is taking place now in this church, and I've got to highlight it. The transition is right now our church is in a rebuilding stage. Huh? The Lord has brought this church through some things. And we've been being taught and equipped and prepared. The next move we have to make is a move more consistently out of these four walls into the surrounding community. Otherwise, the treasure in this earthen vessel will be a void and of no use. So the Lord challenged me this week. He said, I want you to wake up every morning, and I want you to, he said, just give me a chance. I want you to ask me to show you who you should be ministering to today. And if you do that, I'll make sure someone comes your way every single day. And I set this challenge out to you today because this is our next step. Yes, it would be great if they worshiped with us on Sabbath. If you were to invite someone and they came here, that's great. But if they never step foot in here, they should be learning of God through you. Because the treasure's not in here, it's in here. And so what I love about what Paul did here is immediately he started to tell the church, yes, you're hard pressed on every side, but you're not crushed. You're perplexed and not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. In other words, he's trying to tell them there is a purification that takes place. There is a pruning, there is a preserving that takes place when you go through these hardships. And I would submit to you today that our church is so comfortable Because we haven't been doing very much. Now, if the shoe fits, wear it. Because I'm not presuming that everyone's not doing anything. But I know the Holy Spirit was telling me this week, I need more from you. And when I look at where we're located, the very fact that anyone who comes within this block has to pass this building. See, I'm big on, Lord, what is it that I have in my hand? You know, I'm big on taking a step back and looking at where is it that you've placed me? And how does that pertain to what I'm supposed to be doing next? And the Lord brought my family to Tacoma Park Church. So thus, I've been on the Tacoma Park government website looking at learning the council members, learning the structure, seeing how the communities run, looking at community affairs and what's going on, the housing, everything that I'm learning about this community because this is where he's planted me. And the more visible I am in my community, the more sway I have, influence I have when I want to speak about something else that may not be the norm in my community. Because if I'm feeding you, then you'll listen to me about what's going on. I don't feed you because I want you to listen to me. I feed you because the Holy Spirit has blessed me and under his unction has told me to go to your house and give you something. But we make ourselves more approachable when we're involved with the community around us, treasures in earthen vessels. Woe unto us if we have these treasures and never use them. And the treasures are the fact that we have hope. Doesn't the world need hope? Man, we have knowledge. We know from whence our help cometh. And we can impart these same things. See, everyone has a desire to serve the Lord. They just don't always know it. And if we're able, and then there are individuals who will reject this message. But we've got to give them the opportunity to reject it. And so Paul, he's saying through these hardships, he said that the power of God may be of God and not us. There's two places in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 through 11 that really stand out to me. There's two places. In verse 10, it says, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Watch this. That the life of Jesus also may be made manifested. The Lord is supposed to, he's supposed to shine out of us, my brothers and sisters. Do we manifest, do we display the character of God in our day-to-day life? This is just simple. Do we? Are we intentional about allowing the Holy Spirit to create those organic experiences between individuals in our community and on our job, those chances for him to shine out of us, out of these clay pots? Or are we consumed and concerned about what religion we are as opposed to them? Or what church we attend, or what day we keep? The treasure is not in our doctrine. It's not in our religious preference. That's what it is. It's not in our religious preference. It's in our experience. Lastly, one of the reasons why this text is so appealing to me is because he states that we're this treasure in these fragile vessels. Then he talks about all these calamities or perplexities or all these trials that we go through. And what I love about that is he's trying to say that the people of God are not exempt of hardship. And what I love about that is it's in our hardship that we become relevant to the community around us. Oh, hear me. See, I may know the Lord, and I can know the Lord and still be struggling with my mortgage at the same time. There's a gospel being preached today that says, you're blessed, you know you're blessed if you have money. You know you're blessed if you have a Mercedes. You know you're blessed by God if you have a large house. But that's not so, especially since Jesus said the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. But what Paul is talking about here, see, in these hardships, we are able to identify with those around us because they're going through the same things we are. But but someone around us, because we know the Lord, because we are in communion with God, not because we're Seventh-day Adventists or not because we've been in church for 20 or 30 years, but because we have our own experience with God, we can say that we're hard-pressed and not crushed. See, we're able to identify with those around us, but you may meet someone who's hard-pressed and feels crushed. In doing so, you can tell them, I serve somebody, I know about somebody, because I'm going through the same thing you're going through, but I'm not crushed. Then they'll look at your life and say, why is it that you're not crushed? You know, we both got told we were getting ready to be laid off. Why is it that you're not crushed? Then you look at you, you know somebody who's, we've been persecuted, but not forsaken. You know someone who's been struck down, and you may be struck down but not destroyed. And they look at you and they say, what is it about your life? Treasures in earthen vessels. So that the excellence of the power of God be manifested in us. Our next step, my brothers and sisters, as I close here, is to be intentional about moving outside of these four walls. Watch this. Your church and your church leaders, we will facilitate opportunities as a congregation for us to go into the community. But if you're waiting for those opportunities, then you have not been listening to the Holy Spirit, because every single day, we should be looking for those opportunities. Opportunities to say, I'm going through the same thing that you're going through, but I know someone who's taking care of it for me. Would you like to know him too? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. My appeal simply today to us is, what are we going to do with this treasure that we have? There's so many things. We've been planted in the midst of a place of in a community that is changing and evolving, and practices that we don't agree with, but it's not necessarily even about what they're doing versus what we're doing. It's about making the presence of God known in this community. You can call me whatever denomination you want to call me. At the end of the day, I'm one who follows Christ, and I seek to make known the presence of God in my community. So if the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you in this message, and he's saying to you, listen, there's a work for you that I know that I need you to do, I want to give you the opportunity to just respond to him. We don't need a whole bunch of, I'm not going to take very long with it, but if you hear the Holy Spirit saying, listen, there's some work. I've deposited this treasure in you, and I'm calling on you to do a little bit more than what you've been doing. We've been being fed. We're coming in here every Sabbath. We have sustenance. But food is consumed so that it is produced in energy for work. That's what food does. And we're being fed from the Word of God, and we're listening, and we have our own devotionals, even if we're not in church, we're being fed. There's plenty of food. But now, the Holy Spirit's saying, allow me to help you digest that so that it turns into energy for work. If you hear the Holy Spirit saying to you, I need you to get to work, then I want you to stand with me in saying yes, in a response saying, yes, Lord. Do what you want with me. This is, you don't have to stand. If you don't stand, I'm not looking at you. I don't care. This is your opportunity. You hear the Lord saying, I put this treasure in an earthen vessel so that the excellency of the power of God will be made manifest. And you hear him saying, I need you to go to work. Your standing says, Lord, take me where you need me to go. By your grace, I'll be mindful every day to have an intentional, organic encounter with someone who may be perplexed, who may be in hard times, who may have all the same issues that I have, but don't know the answer to them like I do. By you standing today, you're saying, Lord, I'm available. I'm available to make your presence known in my community. Praise God for you. Let's bow our heads and pray. My God, I thank you for what you've done here today. Lord, we're just earthen vessels. We're clay pots. We're no better because of our denominational affiliation. We're just clay pots. But we've been filled with a treasure. Lord, we've decided today by those standing, we're saying on one accord in this congregation today, we don't want to just be a housing place for the treasure. We want to be a distribution center as well. We just don't want to hold on to the treasure. You've preserved us in our affliction. You've preserved us for this long. You've given us this treasure, but we want to be a facilitator of your goodness. Lord, help us to do that this week. Would you hear our sincere prayer today? Will we not leave this place and forget immediately? May we remember, even as we leave this place, to just put a smile on our face, to just be open to dialogue with someone, to be open. Lord, give us the unction to help somebody out, to position us to show forth your glory. Those standing today are saying yes in response to what you said to us in this message, and we thank you. Lord, we ask that you would rebuke the enemy on our behalf in the name of Jesus. We're going through things, but we learned that we're not without hope. So we submit all the things that would seek to distract us from giving you the glory. We ask that you would take care of it right now in the name of Jesus. Do whatever you have to so that you can manifest yourself through us as we navigate from day to day. Heal us, Lord. Strengthen us even in this time. May your spirit be palpable to our situation, God. And may we give you glory. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.